Terminate Revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak. And sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you?
And great.
I know I told you, Dave, every week it's like you just don't know who I'm going to end up having you interview. And this week, again, a guy that, you know, he's a jack of all trades in so many ways. So I'm excited to introduce our guest. And I know you're excited, Dave, as well, aren't you?
I am. I was all a big right, so Happy Days fan. Who wasn't?
So go ahead and introduce him, Dave.
So this week we have with us Don Most. Many of you know him as Ralph Mouth on Happy Days. Don, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Wow. I always wanted to know. I'm a big fan, first of all. And like I said, who isn't? Are you, the character you played, did they write that for you, or did you just come in and you're just playing yourself? I mean, is Ralph Don, no, or is Don Ralph? How's that go?
No, no, not at all. I was not at all like the character I played, which is what makes it fun for me to play all different kinds of characters.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, I actually originally screen tested after several auditions. They asked screen test, and it was for the role of Potsy. And then what happened was Gary Marshall wanted Anson Williams for that role, and Ron Howard for Richie. And but the executives liked my screen test so much that one of the big wigs there, it was Michael Eisner, actually. He was at Paramount, and he told them, he said, you should put him in the show too. And they decided, okay, there was a small role in the pilot script for a guy named Ralph, and who, you know, like, was into cars. He was in a car club and you know, made some wise cracks, that kind of thing. And so they said, we'll turn that into a regular character. And you know, and they offered it to me. So they, you know, it evolved from that, but that's how it started. And he was turned into the real class clown comedian, so to speak, you know. But I was never really like that. I certainly knew people in high school like that. And then our director was very much like that, Jerry Paris. I used to sort of model it after a bunch of other people.
Wow.
So Don, talking about that character, did you make Ralph Mouth really evolve from the smaller role at the beginning to how it became a larger and larger role?
Yeah, I mean, what happened was because it was sort of a peripheral character, and they had some, you know, they had some funny bits for him, and but I would always come up with some ideas beyond what was on the page, and Jerry, who was a great director, Jerry Paris, he was into that. He loved when I would bring other things, and it would stimulate his imagination, and then he'd say, oh yeah, that's great, and then what if you did this, and what if, and he'd come up with something, and so we would just, you know, create some extra bits and dialogue that wasn't in the script, and a lot of times it worked really well, and it made it, and then the writers started seeing what we were doing and started riffing off of that, and so it definitely kept growing and growing, and then I became, you know, one of the integral characters, one of Richie's best friend. So it was like Richie, Patsy, and Ralph, you know, and then of course Fonzie. So, and same thing with Henry's character of the Fonz. It was a supporting character in the beginning, but Henry was so good and created such a amazing character in the Fonz that that also then became much more integral to the point where then he became like the star with Ron, you know.
That's interesting because always these stories, Donnie, are so fascinating to learn about because people don't understand how at first someone has an idea for a show, they start running that show, and then to keep the episodes going, they have to develop characters. And I guess you tested well on screen then, Donnie, right? In a way that made them want more and more.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it was working. Whatever I was doing and then working well with the other, with Ron and Anson and Henry, you know, I mean, we had a great rapport, great chemistry and friendship. And then with Jerry as our, and Gary Marshall overseeing all, everything. So it was the blend of these different personalities and talent. It worked, you know, it was one of those things like lightning in a bottle and that all contributed to it as well. But yeah, I guess they liked what I was doing and they kept writing more of it. And you know, it just got to a point where I was no longer just a peripheral character.
Very interesting.
So remind me, was the show on like 10 years?
It was, it ran 11 seasons and I was on the first seven. And then after that, my contract, you know, I could have renewed after that, but I made the decision, as did Ron Howard that same year, not to renew because Ron really was focusing on directing and so he decided to move on. And I felt, you know, I'd been playing that same character for 7 years. And as I mentioned earlier, I was nothing like who I was, yet people were sort of assuming that I was that kind of guy. And you know, you can get typed and you start getting
pigeonholed.
Yeah, you know, especially when a show's very successful.
Yeah, future casting.
Back then especially, so because, you know, you didn't have cable, you didn't have internet, you know, it was just three networks and some local channels. So, you know, we'd have 50 million people when we were number one watching us on Tuesdays.
Wow.
And so you know, you it's easier back then to get pigeonholed, typecast, or whatever. And I knew that was starting to happen and what it had happened. And the industry, it's more the people, when I'd go around the country, people were much more open in my mind, it seemed, to seeing me in other kinds of roles. But the industry, they play it safe. And I think they didn't give the public enough credit. And they sort of assume, oh, no, they'll only be able to picture him this way. And he's too associated with that character.
Yeah.
So it becomes really hard to do other kinds of roles. And as I said, to me, acting, I like playing all different roles. And the first couple of parts I got when I went out to L.A. were dramatic parts. I was frankly more interested in that than comedy. But it just so happened that when I went
those days, in those days, they had like fan clubs and stuff. You had a big fan base, didn't you? Did you personally have a lot of fans that were sending letters to you? I know Ron probably had a lot of fans, and Fonzie was probably off the chart.
Yeah, Henry was off the charts. I got a good amount. Yeah, I did, but yeah, it was different then. It was very different. Right. Now, you know, people do, if they're in a TV show and it's successful, and then they do a film, and the people are doing films and do a TV series, and you know, there's back like a bridge back and forth between the mediums, where back then it was pretty separate and distinct.
Because they saw the character, Donnie, as a character that they can't see you play a killer. Now you could take a role as a, you know, as a class clown and get a dramatic role, quickly.
Much more readily now. Yes, absolutely. What's happened for me, which has really opened it up in the last, especially the last 5 years, something like that. because there's so much time and distance from the show, and I'm certainly in a different age bracket, you know, that I'm playing all different kinds of roles in film and theater. You know, right now I'm doing a new play called Middletown. I'm in Atlanta, and we're going to Chicago for 4 weeks, and it might eventually go, you know, to New York off Broadway. Before that, I did a movie called Lost Heart, and I play a small town pastor in it. And before that, I did a film with the same company where I play a defense attorney, and it's a pretty dramatic, very powerful film. And I did a play called Art, where I play this art connoisseur. So, you know, I'm playing all different kinds of roles now, which is what I've always wanted to do. So it's cool that it's, you know, it's happening a little later in my life than I was hoping to do this 20, 30 years ago, you know, and it was tough. I still worked, but it was much tougher than it is now. And so I'm thankful, really thankful that, so there's something good about getting old, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
About Dave, getting older.
So Dave, what happens now is if you're on a successful show, like a TV show or a movie, then people want to hire you to bring that fan base to that show. The days before that wasn't like that. And I think that changed the industry in so many ways.
I think people like Farrah Fawcett broke the mold, you know, because people says, no, you're Charlie's Angels forever, but look at what she went on to do. Do people still, do your fans still recognize you on the street? They say, hey, you're Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it sometimes. You know,
still kind of look
not
like
as much, obviously. Yeah, I still, you know, people say, it's funny, some people go, oh, yeah, you look the same. And then other people go, oh, I wouldn't have, I couldn't tell because, you know, you look a lot, you know, whatever. My hair's not as red, obviously, and I do look different. But so it runs the gamut. But I do get it sometimes, obviously not like back in the day, you know, because I'm certainly a lot older.
I hope you had a good contract and that you're getting good residuals, because Happy Days is still all over the place.
Now the residuals are peanuts. It's really, you know, because it was just the regular union minimum that I get. I didn't have a special
lucky to get
contract,
the job. Huh?
So, at the time it was. Yeah, I mean, I was 20 years old, and it was great to get a part on a series, you know, a regular role. I mean, in hindsight, I wish I'd gotten, you know, if I'd gotten like a 1% or something, you know, of 1 point in the show, would have been great. But
still friends with Ron?
Yeah, you know, he's a busy guy, as we know, and I don't see him that often, maybe once a year, you know, twice a year maybe. But, you know, we'll email each other, you know, just to stay in touch. I see Anson Williams all the time. He and I are very close. He played Potsy, of course, and we speak several times a week and see each other all the time.
That's great.
He's
a great guy too. Fantastic.
Oh, he's fabulous, fabulous. We're one of my best friends. Mm-hmm.
I had a short interview, Donnie. It wasn't a long one. It was one of those radio tours next type of thing, than getting a little bit more time to sit down with you. But I wanted to ask, are you doing those conventions for fans of Happy Days? Are you doing many of those, Donnie, or really?
Music once in a while. Yeah, once in a while I've done, you know, we do them, Anson and I have done some.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Together, you know, like an autograph show, that kind of thing. Don't do a lot of them, but occasionally we do. There was one in Hollywood that we've done a couple of times, and then one called Chiller in New Jersey. We've done that a few times, and then I was at the Star Trek convention because I had done a two-parter some years ago of a Star Trek Voyager, where I actually played the villain in that. So that was cool. So I've been to a couple of those. And the other thing, you know, I've been, besides the acting, I've directed a few independent films, but in the last 5 years, I've been doing a lot of singing, which is how I started.
Exactly.
When I was really young, I was singing before I was acting, and I always loved the great standards and jazz standards and the Great American Songbook, if you will. And I decided about 5 years, 6 years ago to mount the show, and I've been having a blast doing that.
Good for you.
Done it in New York and L.A. and a bunch of other places, and have a CD out called Mostly Swinging, and it's with a great big band, wonderful jazz musicians from Los Angeles, and I'm actually now back. That was came out like 2 years ago, and now I'm in the studio with a producer in Nashville, and we're recording another CD. So things are, you know, I'm enjoying going back and forth between the theater, film, and music. You know, it's
enjoying life.
I want to keep doing that. I want to keep doing that for a while.
See, and that's the impressive part of it, Dave, that I've been impressed talking to Donnie on two other times, is the fact that he is, as I said, a jack of all trades, meaning he does so many different things, from music to directing to acting, and I guess you can go into the singing. He's in all these different areas that he really has a fascinating life, for sure. Got the great big gig in Happy Days, but he's done so much more. So go ahead, Dave, with your next question.
Thank you, Neil.
So I always like to ask about your latest projects. Did you discuss that yet, or is it something that you haven't told us yet?
Well, the most current one is this play, Middletown. And it's doing it with Sandy Duncan is in it, and Dede Kahn was Frenchie in the movie Grease, and she was in Benson. And Adrian Zemed, who I've known for a long time, because we toured in a play years ago. And, you know, he was on T.J. Hooker and a whole bunch of other things, the movie Bachelor Party and a lot of stuff. So I'm enjoying this play a lot. And as I said, we're going to Chicago we're going to be there for a month. And then I have some other projects. I think I'm going to be going to do a movie in Europe It's very close to being a lock. So I'm hoping that's going to happen in like late April. And then some of the music gigs, I'm actually going to do, I got booked to do a show, and it might be a cool little side niche. I'm doing a show singing with the Drifters. So that's going to be kind of fun to do. And then I have some of my own projects that I'm trying to get going, you know, as a director, and some of them maybe just as a producer. I'm not sure, you know, some it would be right for me to direct, and some I'm not sure if it's in my wheelhouse for that genre. So we'll see. You know, I'm actively developing these projects, and hopefully we'll get a green light on one of them soon. I'm
well, good for you.
Chomping at the bit.
Fantastic. Yeah. And we'll definitely look at promoting some of your other projects. Now I have a direct contact with you, Donnie. Love to have you on a couple of times anytime you have new projects. And, you know, quick segment that I did a ton of those back in the day when we met. Like, I interviewed certain people 3 or 4 or 5 times, but I love when you connect a project to what they're promoting and just discuss that project. And it really is interesting. All right, Dave has the last question for you, Donnie. And this question's why we're on Caregiver Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, we all kind of grew up together, Donnie. I'm probably similar age as you, but, you know, we're getting older now. And I had to become a caregiver to my wife when she had a headache 23 years ago, and it turned into a stroke, and she's disabled now. She lost her speech, she became paralyzed one side, and yet through you know, we've reinvented ourselves, and you know, we're not defined by what happens to us, but now my wife's amazing. I mean, she still can't talk or walk, but she just makes all of us people look like whiners and complainers, and we travel across the country just helping caregivers stay alive, because 30% of them die before their loved ones do. Has caregiving affected you or your loved ones yet?
Well, to some degree, not to the extreme that you're sharing with me. My wife was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease about 18 years ago. So
you're a caregiver.
She's doing pretty well. You know, sometimes people after 3 years, they're in really bad shape, and, you know, or 5 years, and she's had it for 18. She's had some rough periods, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster. It goes up and down, but she's doing pretty well. She's with me right now, traveling, to these different cities while I'm doing the play, and she's hanging in there really well. But you know, it's certainly,
so you're an amazing individual, Neil, in addition to all that he's accomplished so much, he's a caregiver, and that's probably the hardest job that he's ever done.
Well, I have direct contact to Donnie. Donnie, you need to go on Dave's show just to discuss caregiving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I've got a radio show about burned out caregivers. They'd love to hear your story.
All right, well, we'll have to plan that.
Okay.
And,
awesome. All right, best place we can connect with you. I'm on your website. We're using this as a video as well. Your website looks great, by the way, Donnie. And people can go to that really easily by going to, is it just donmost.com, correct? Or DonnieMost?
It's DonnieMost.com, yeah, DonnieMost.com.
Awesome.
And I think, I haven't been there in so long, I think it is, pretty sure. Otherwise, it's DonMost.com, but I'm pretty sure it's DonnieMost.com.
It's probably both.
It's probably both, for sure. But we appreciate you calling, and best of luck. I will reach out to you, on Dave's behalf to get you booked on Dave's show, but I also will reach out to you about the latest projects and just keep up with what's happening with you.
That's
really interesting stuff you're doing, and just we'll keep in touch, Don. So I appreciate it.
And all those caregivers out there, it's caregiverdave.com.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Donnie. Good talking to you.
All right, take care, guys.
Nice talking to you, too.
See you later. All right, that was the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Show, everyone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited about our guests today, and excited about our guests. As again, we're going to talk crossover today. So we have in the studio, and I'm excited to welcome the program, Taylor Kinney and Marina Squarshotti. Guys, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Hey, Neil, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks for pronouncing my name correctly. That was awesome.
I had to go do some research. You know, it is what it is. It's kind of funny. You go back and you have to find one off a radio interview, and I did it. So I didn't have to ask. So I picked it up. So that's great. They asked me to do it again. You never know. So let's talk crossover now, guys. Taylor, you're pumped up, right? Always when the crossovers come up, right?
Did you say that again? Sorry.
No, Taylor. I said you're always pumped up when it's crossover time, when you get to crossover the two series like this. It's a lot of fun, right?
No, I always look forward to it. We've done a few over the years. I think at this point, Chicago Fire's in season 8, Chicago PD's in season 7. We try to get a couple a year without doing too much, but it's always a welcome change to the episodic norm where we're just in one house together telling stories. So whenever you can incorporate other characters and other storylines where we're crossing over, where you have, you know, let's say a, you know, fan favorite or a character that you like from one show and they cross over and jump into another, you know, which seemingly would be another role in another show, it's always a welcome change. And you get to work with people that you don't get to work with all the time, and we all get along, so it's kind of a big
party,
big love fit. Love that.
So, I prefer party.
Party, yeah. But we always enjoy it. The fans have taken to it, and really looking forward to fan response and people watching this Wednesday, and then feedback.
Marina, what's your thought about the crossover? Do you enjoy that too?
I do. I mean, Brian Garrity was my partner season 2 and 3, and he became one of my closest friends. So to get to work with him as an actor is great because he's so freaking talented, and to get to hang out with him as a friend and is also really great. I think the best part about it is just kind of being able to get out of your comfort zone. I'm having a bit of trouble.
Yeah, so
I'm going to take this out.
Marina's earpiece is going a little long.
The best part about it is be able to work with other actors. You know, you work in season for 6 or 7 seasons with the same people, and it's wonderful, but you kind of get to stretch your wings when you work with new people as well.
Now, Taylor, again, what should we expect Wednesday night? Just kind of without spoiling anything, kind of give us how these two things set up for each other on Wednesday night.
So we're kind of tackling the opioid epidemic, and we have our storyline is teens that are affected by bad batches of Oxy. And we have dealers out there. And to Marina's point, Brian Garrity, who plays Roman, her ex-partner, comes in, and he has a sister that has been affected by this. And he enlists my help, my character's help, Severide, in the fire department, trying to track down where this is coming from, the source, the dealer, and then trying to find a resolve. His sister's gone missing. So it's a singular storyline through his lens and through him personally, which correlates and then leads on to the next hour, which would be PD. And the relationship that's meaningful is Marina with Roman and those characters, and they get together and try to find resolve in the storyline finding, but I think it's a more humanistic story, and I think it's relatable to what's going on kind of throughout the country right now. So it's a little heavier, but hopefully it's well received, the story itself. I mean,
yes, most
I think fans will be able to relate to it in terms of like it's just a really good entertaining story that they've created, but it's also doesn't have someone that's sort of dealing with this epidemic. So
yes,
there's a lot of layers in which the fans can relate to this episode.
And then I think so. When you talk about that addiction, opioid addiction, and what's happening and how it hurts so many families all over the world, this is definitely something that they can speak to it, Taylor. And you have that feel of what's happened in this. And this will lead to lots of conversations, hopefully.
Yeah, I think well said. I think we were talking before about, you know, what the expectation is that, you know, a viewer, aside from, sitting down and watching a show that they enjoy and get entertainment out of. But hopefully this hits home enough to open up a discussion. And if you have friends or family that are affected by this, that it can start an exchange discourse and hopefully lead to.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Some help and some outreach where the stigma can kind of, I'm not going to say go away, but subsides enough where you can speak up and hopefully it helps some people and, you know, ultimately save lives. I mean, that's not, you know, the objective.
Right.
But at the same time, hopefully we're doing a service in some way to open a discussion. And if there is help available, that people will go out there, take the steps necessary to move forward in that regard.
Absolutely. Okay, so everyone tunes in Wednesday night to the crossover event, and I tell you, continued success on the show. Great job, both of you guys, and continue to make Chicago proud. So thanks again for calling.
Appreciate it so much. All thanks right, for having care. Us on.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Neil Haley's show. I'm excited to welcome the program from Good Girls, Manny Montana. Manny, thanks for calling.
Of course, Neil. How you doing?
Doing great, Manny. You got to be excited. Season 3, Good Girls. It's
absolutely, man. Yeah, I'm really excited. We got such a huge fan base, and it just continues growing, and I feel like our show just keeps getting better and better. So it's really nice to see the fan reaction.
Let's talk about season 3. What should the fans expect for season 3?
Well, Rio's alive, so the spoiler's out. you know, I feel like Rio's coming back for revenge, and he comes back and he finds out a huge bomb that's going to be revealed in episode 2 or 3, and it's going to make it so that he has to continue working with these girls, and they have to continue to find a way to coexist. I feel like it just makes for a really good season 3, and I think people are going to like it.
Manny, tell us about your character. And for the fans who have not watched the show, who is Rio?
Well, the development of Rio has been, you know, he comes in, he's this mysterious crime boss that these women that they owe money to now. And it just becomes this huge cat and mouse game between Rio and Beth. And I feel like it makes for really good TV because everybody, they're both one-upping each other. And, you know, it's weird because opposites attract, so they both... dislike each other but love each other at the same time. So it just makes for a really complex relationship, and I feel like that's kind of how Rio's evolved, is battling with Beth, trying to find a way to keep her working for him, while continuing to be able to use her, but she's finding a way to make her own way in this world, and she's learning, so it's just making for a good cat and mouse game.
Do you like playing a mob boss? I would think it would be really cool.
I mean, yeah, I love playing a mob boss. I love the fact that he's mysterious. I love the fact that you don't know much about him, and I love the fact that, you know, every now and then you'll find a little bit more about him that makes it interesting, so I love it.
Have you ever played a mob boss before?
Correct.
No, actually, you know, I've done a lot of cops, I've done a lot of the bad guy, I've done a lot of FBI agent. This is the first time I get to play somebody with a lot of stillness and mystery, so I love it. Yeah, I hope more parts like this come.
What kind of research did you do for the part? It's got to be really cool. Did you look back at old mob films and things like that and said, hey, this is how I'm going to portray this character. I'm going to try these different things. I'm going to do these different movements.
No, surprisingly, I don't. Rio is based on a lot of guys I knew growing up. You know, on TV, they're quick to write gangsters and criminals like always serious. But the dudes I knew growing up were always funny, and you know, it seemed like they didn't have a care in the world. And when it came time to business, yeah, they were very serious and direct. So I just mirrored Rio after a lot of dudes I saw growing up.
Well, then that's the real thing. Then you're playing the real boss, then, right? You're seeing it growing up, what you have
right.
to deal with when you interact with them. That's the scary part, right? Really dealing with a serious boss
yeah.
and the power that they have.
Yeah, and
for
I think
sure.
that's why it's relatable, and I at least I hope that's why people like it, is that they see something that's just to their core relatable.
How do you keep yourself from not laughing on set? These girls are really fun actresses.
The girls.
You know, for me, it's easy not to laugh because a lot of my stuff is really serious with Beth. The girls seem to have a really, you know, a lot of funny things, and they have a great dynamic together. So I'm sure they have a lot of outtakes and a lot of, you know, stuff on the gag reel. But for me, my stuff with Beth is really serious. We come in, we do our job, and go home. So it's very businesslike.
And when you're on set, you try to be that character. You live that character and breathe that character even during off takes. You want to be that person. It's no longer Manny. You're Rio.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. As soon as the tattoo goes on, I just feel like I start walking differently and talking differently, and you know, I get quieter, and I don't know, I feel like something turns on. So I love it. It's fun being able to play somebody different every day.
When I was a professional wrestler and I would get out in the ring or I'd do a promo, cut a promo, I would no longer be myself. I would be a different character. It's a lot of fun. So that's what's so awesome when you create a character or develop a character, is being that persona. Living that person. So we're going to find out what happens when Gurgler Girls comes on very soon on Sunday nights. Where can we connect with you, Manny? Where's the best place to follow you and find more information on you?
Best way to connect with me, I really only have Instagram. It's at LB Manny Montana on Instagram. So reach out to me. I love reaching out to everybody that I can.
Thanks for coming on the show, Manny. A lot of fun. Cannot wait to tune in to Good Girls on Sunday nights on NBC. You're listening to Neil Haley's Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Neil Haley Network's Dr. Christopher Hall Show. I'm excited to welcome to the program Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? Another exciting episode we have today, and we have another exciting guest.
Yes, I'm doing great, and definitely very excited about our guest today.
All right, so let's go ahead and introduce him.
Well, no problem. Well, you know, welcome to the show, Mr. Matt Shevin. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Really nice to be here.
Hey, Matt. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks again for calling. You know, when you think about specifically Enough Entertainment and everything, was this always what you wanted to do, was be an entertainer?
Yeah, I think so. It definitely came out in me, and I think in my 20s where I really started to find my own felt, be a little more comfortable, and it's when I really started pursuing acting, and it's something I really love and have a passion for.
All right, good. Dr. Hall, with your first question for Matt.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, Matt, Yeah, I really wanted to learn a little bit about you. Just tell us a little bit about that, about Ryan, New York, and about your childhood and how you grew up.
Very nice. Yeah, a very nice place to grow up. My parents were from Brooklyn, but didn't want to raise us in the city. So they moved out to Rye, which is a suburb of Manhattan, probably about 20 miles or so outside of Manhattan. I'm the middle of three boys, very suburban, nice upbringing. And I'd get back there from time to time. My mom is still there. And so, yeah, really, really nice. But now I live in L.A.
So what do you like better, Matt? What do you like better?
I'm sorry, sir.
What area do you like better,
I like better? You know, it's a great question. I believe I'm a little more wired for Los Angeles. It feels a little more like home. It was something I'd always wanted to do, was live out here. And then my older brother happened to move here before I did, and kind of paved the way. When I came out to visit him, it immediately felt like home. There's an energy here I think that's very happy. Obviously, the weather's better. And just the entertainment business is just a real thrill.
And Dr. Hall is from the Los Angeles area, right, Dr. Hall? So where do you like better? You're living in Alabama now, Dr. Hall. Would you say L.A. or Alabama? Where's your real love?
You know, that's a really good question because, yeah, I grew up in Southern California, Los Angeles, and so you've got different kind of – you've got the beaches out there skating up and down. But then here in Alabama, we've got a lot of things where you can go into the nature and hiking. So, you know, both places have their attributes.
And that's the nice thing is you have your favorite things, Matt, right, in two places, right? You have certain things you really enjoy about
yeah,
LA, and there's certain things about – growing up where you kind of miss at times
that is true. You know, it's interesting that people ask me to compare the cities often, and it's interesting. It's apples and oranges, because really New York is a real city that has the subway built underneath the building, so it's easy to get around. LA is more of a county, very spread out. It's 60 square miles, and so traffic is bad in both cities, but it's just LA, you're traveling further, so it takes a little more time, you know, sometimes to get to a place, because you're going 15, 20 miles to get somewhere. But they're different in their own ways. And LA is definitely a car city. There's no doubt.
Definitely a difference.
Incredible.
For sure. You don't want to be in a car in New York City. That's for sure. Dr. Hall, it takes forever. You don't want to be in the 405 either in LA, right? Dr. Hall, explain those highways and how horrible they are.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
no way. No way.
All right. Well, your next question, Dr. Hall, for Matt.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So, you know, what's so interesting about Matt as an actor is he shifts gears. And, you know, so I remember seeing Matt on The Bold and the Beautiful. He's certainly been a lead in a number of Hollywood films. And so Matt, tell us a little bit about how did you get interested in acting? Is that something you had as a childhood dreamer? How did that come about?
You know, I was working in some creative fields, and I was at the time, the specific time this happened, I was working, helping cast a commercial, and I was reading the lines, the auditions with the actors, and was finding myself doing pretty well with it, and I really enjoyed it, actually, and I think I must have gotten bit by the bug like that moment, and I started taking classes, and then took a lot of classes. I really dove in. And it just became a major passion of mine. I think it's a real thrill. I think it's very fascinating business, and you have to be very patient and persistent. And from there, you know, I really fully believe that everyone who wants it will make it. If you really stick with it, work hard, you got to climb the ladder. You'll get one line on a TV show that will lead to two lines on another show. And you have to really enjoy the ride too. And I think a real key as well is, to understand that it's a business that is saturated with actors. So we can't, you know, you can't get down, you can't complain about it, because I just know there's 200,000 actors in LA gunning for roles. And so it is, you just have to sort of hang in there and someone will give you a chance. Lately it's been getting very good for me.
So you were talking about the casting director. So you were involved in casting before acting, it sounds like.
I worked in advertising a little bit as I was coming out of school, and I was working on some commercials, which is really fun. It's very creative. But I found myself wanting to go to the other side of the camera, I think, and be in front of it. It's a much different skill set. but it has there are some similarities, and it's, you know, you're now trying to give them what they need, but you're also trying to bring your own flavor into an audition, and from there I've really sort of built something that's been kind of nice.
Okay, Dr. Hall, next question.
Wow, it's interesting, and that's kind of what we've heard from other actors that we've interviewed on the show. It's, I have to have tough skin and just hang in there. And so Matt, you know, I saw, I think, where you went to school there at the University of Maryland. Tell me about that. Did you start studying acting there, or did you study something else?
I did study some acting there. I really studied a lot more when I got out of school, but no, I very much enjoyed my time at Maryland. It was a great school. I go back there. I'm a big sports fan, so I go back there for games. I go back there for football and basketball games, and it was a tremendous experience. It's coming from a small suburb in New York City to a very large campus at Maryland will give you a whole new outlook on life. It'll make you more aggressive. I mean, I remember this. My mom was worried when I went to Maryland that I'd get eaten alive coming from a smaller school, from a very small high school. And, you know, you learn very quickly.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
I think it works in average in acting too. You just become very aggressive. I bribed an upperclassman to give me his parking permit so I could have a car on campus. Like, you just sort of make your way. And I think there's a touch of that happens with acting, where you have to be very persistent, but smart about it.
Explain some of that persistency to get when you have the auditions of what you do to try to land that, either land the audition or land the part.
Yeah, it's a great question. The over the years, it used to be a time long before you and I were around where you could just walk into a studio and shake hands with the president of Paramount. And then many actors started taking advantage of that and kind of ruined it for the rest of us. And so now they clamp down, and you hear the word no, not just a no in an audition, but you'll also hear the word no, don't stop, don't drop by, no, don't give us your headshot. But I really believe it's not so much no, it's just don't. Whenever you hear a rule about acting, like don't barge in on anyone, I think you have to add to that, just don't do it in the wrong way. You do it wisely. If I'm going to give my headshot to the right person, I do it wisely. I do it in a very grown up, officious sort of way. And so in terms of being persistent in my own regard, I'll do casting workshops in which I do a scene in front of a casting director and get to know them so they can see my work. And that then will sort of forge a relationship that will make them remember me and bring me in for an audition. And so even getting the audition can be difficult. If a role pops up on a show like CSI, and it's a role for a gentleman my age, my height, they may get 2,000 submissions from agents. Imagine 2,000 actors want that role.
Holy
They'll bring
cow.
In 12 actors. So that right there is an incredibly low batting average. So it's a blessing just to get the audition. Once you get in there, now you're going against guys that look just like you and are very talented. You try to, you know, and just go in there, light the fuse and walk away. Do your job, be very pleasant and positive inside the audition room, and then walk away and forget about it.
And that's a great point for sure, Dr. Hall,
wow.
is to forget about once you do something. You did your very best, Dr. Hall, and you move forward. And that's what Matt's trying to explain in the acting industry. But in any industry, you're going to get lots of no's, Dr. Hall, to get that yes. And Dr. Hall, you dealt with that in your life, right? A lot of no's to finally get a yes.
No doubt. And then again, like you said, just being persistent, having really that inspiration, that energy, that drive that Matt is displaying, having that, it certainly helps you get to the next level. And I think this is clear and obvious why Matt is where he is. So it's incredible.
You know, it's interesting, guys, when you talk about hearing no a lot. It's really true, and we do. I luckily, and we don't find too many mentors as actors, but I luckily took a class for a while under a teacher named Stuart K. Robinson. He was just a genius, and he really helped his actors grow. Not really just as it's going to sound so California, but not just as actors, but you really do grow. Like, I grew up in his class, and one of the things he would say was try to get a no. Try to get a no. You know, like call a better agent. Try to move up to them. And often you may just get a yes. And so ask those questions and do it. Always do it wisely. See if a casting office will see if I know a role has popped up on a show. Email the casting office and remind them that they know me and see if I can get in there and see if they say no, because often they may say yes.
See, that's phenomenal advice. And the reason it's phenomenal advice and is the fact that it's a numbers game in anything you do in any industry, any sales, any type of industry where you have to get through certain people to get that yes. And if you're fearful of contacting people based on getting that no, you're going to end up getting the door slammed in your face a lot more times than the law of averages. And Matt, it's a law of averages in acting, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I think it is. And I think it's you should just be prepared, because eventually you're going to get that opportunity. So have your skills ready. Work at, like, read plays out loud with people. You know, it makes you, like, I do casting workshops, which keeps my muscles strong as an actor. But then all of a sudden the audition will pop up tomorrow and I'm ready. I haven't been sitting around waiting. And so that's definitely a part of it. And I think I'll tell you a quick story. And this is from my teacher, Stuart. He would say to us, just walk around saying positive affirmations, or actually walk around saying what you need. And one of the guys in the class, one of the actors needed a car, didn't have any money, needed a car. So he would walk around all day saying, I need a car. He walked into a McDonald's and the person behind the register said, oh, how can I help you? And he said, I need a car. Just kidding. An older woman standing next to him said, son, did I just hear you need a car? And he said, yeah. She said, I have this Mercedes, a class. It's like a 76 Mercedes sitting in my barn next to my house and she gave the car to him because he wasn't using it. He asked for it. He put it out there and she gave him a new car. She gave him this classic, really cool car because he was just walking around positively asking for what he wanted.
All right, Dr. Hall, next question for Matt.
Wow, that's incredible. Just thinking positive.
Isn't that crazy?
And just believing in what you really want. So,
yeah.
Wow. Sure. Yeah. So the thing is, Matt, there's lots of young people out there who are listening to the show you're a veteran actor. You've been very successful. Are there any particular points or principles you think you can communicate? I mean, you've said some, but just a guy, like, suppose I was just coming from a small town of 15,000 people. Say Rye, New York, and I end up in Hollywood. How would I get started trying to be an actor?
I think I would encourage anyone who wants to try this, come out here. Absolutely come out here. I think the things to keep in mind are it'll take a little time to make it. There used to be a notion that it would take 10 years to get your first big role, which may be true, but I don't think any two paths are alike. You may just, you know, be in the right place at the right time and someone gives you an opportunity and you nail the audition. But I think one of the first things is come out here and get a day job and make some money. You know, nobody likes poor actor. No one likes the really dirt poor actor. No one likes it when you come in, and it's going to sound negative, but I'm trying to be positive about it. But okay, don't come into an audition desperately needing to pay your rent because they can smell that desperation. So, you know, get a day job that allows you to take classes because classes aren't cheap and headshots aren't cheap. And it allows you to have a life too. You need a life outside of the business to explore the town and experience those things that'll make you a better actor. That I think that's really key. Take a lot of classes, but know that if you're not progressing, move to a different class. There's a lot of good places to go. And one thing they're going to find too, and I always love to dispel this myth. Actors are very supportive of each other. They you'll find, like, if I'm sitting in an acting class or when I'm doing workshops, they'll laugh a little louder. If you're doing a scene from a sitcom that's not that funny, they'll clap a little louder for you. They'll help you move. They'll help you with your resume. We're all in this together. And so when you come out here, yes, like I said earlier, it's not easy to find a mentor, but it is easy to find people that are gunning for the same thing. And if you're smart, you'll find a lot of positive actors. And I think in general, actors have a thicker skin and are very positive and move forward knowing that they chose this business. And so I think those are a few of the keys. It's just make sure you have some money so you can live decently. Go to classes. And, you know, when they say patience and persistence, is a phrase you'll hear a lot in a lot of businesses, but especially with acting. Yes, but you can't be too much of either one. If you're too patient, sitting on the couch waiting for your phone to ring, it's never going to happen. But if you're too persistent, you'll screw yourself into the ground. Overdoing it, trying to make it, but knowing it's not up to you. You know, people are asking me, "What's my next project?" I don't know. It's not necessarily up to me, other than talking to guys like you, getting my name out there, having people see the movie, and gaining a little more steam to the next project.
Exactly. Hey, but if you loved on Lifetime, look out. You'll be in more Lifetime movies. So tell us about, because that is a brand in itself. There's such a cult following. Her Secret Family Killer. Tell us about your character.
Okay, I play a character named Roger. He's a sheriff in a small California coastal town, very, very kind of bedroom community. And it's a very tight-knit community in which either we're all family or as close as family. And the movie has already premiered, but I think you'll be able to still find it. It'll pop up again on Lifetime. So I don't want to give away too much in the ending, but it's a thriller. The cast was phenomenal. I mean, I got to act with some very, very good actors. Great director named Lisa France. And we shot on location all throughout L.A., And I think we made a really great drama that people are going to really like. And so far, I've gotten an incredible response from the movie. Beautifully put together. I don't get to see it until it aired. And it's beautifully edited, sound design,
that's
music.
Great.
Man, they really made it nice.
So did you get recognized with Lifetime fans after the film aired? Did did you pop up at all? Because it's going to happen, especially with people.
I'm getting a lot of ads on Twitter. I'm getting people on Facebook. I had old neighbors that live in other, like, am I watching you on TV right now? Which is always a thrill. So yes, I have not been stopped in a grocery store as of yet. But there are definitely people watch these movies, and even people don't. My frat brothers are all saying, "Oh my God, I'm tuning into Lifetime. I can't believe it." And they actually really liked the movie. Well, here's one of the nicest things. One of my frat brothers said to me, you know, I was going to watch for 15 minutes and turn over to the NBA All-Star game, but I stayed watching it and could not stop. So he watched it till the end. So
that's,
I think,
great.
You know, look, there's murder. There's pretty women in this thing. There's very good actors and great direction and nice locales and all throughout LA. It's beautiful.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Dr. Hall, for your next question.
Sure, no problem. I just love that West Coast energy. It's just, it's all in Matt's voice, the inspiration.
It is. It is. It's, you know, there's a positivity out here, guys, that you'll be in a restaurant on a Friday night and you just feel that happy energy of everyone's here doing their thing. Even if they're not, whether they're in the business, like they may have just moved out here because they want to have sunshine and you know, be a dentist, you know, living by the beach. But also there's just an energy out here. And I also was born with the positivity gene, so that's a good thing. But, you know, you'll just feel we're all in this together and we're doing our thing. You know, I'll watch the Oscars, the Golden Globes, and I say, God, look how lucky these people are. They spend their days making projects that people are going to see and enjoy. And so it is great. And there's nothing better than booking a role and being on set. It is such a rush, such a...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.